Of course, our top story on the national level, the impeachment of Donald Trump yesterday. Been talking about that decent amount here on the Hill this week and throughout the last few weeks. What does all of this development this week mean for public opinion as we head into the 2020 election? And how do pollsters measure public opinion in the first place? For that, we are joined by Tom Jensen, who's the director of public policy polling based out of Raleigh, publicpolicypolling.com, their website. You can find them on Twitter at PPP Polls. Tom, good to be with you today.
Hey, Aaron, good to be with you.
We've talked about impeachment before and the extent to which the impeachment talk has had an effect, or actually not that much of an effect, on polling numbers, whether it's Donald Trump's approval rating or disapproval rating, or where things stand in the head-to-head matchups between Trump and other Democrats heading into 2020, or how fired up or not fired up voters are on either side. Now this is the week when it's actually happened. The vote's been taken. Impeachment is the thing. It's done. It's over. Is there any indication that everything that happened this week has changed what we've said in the past, or is it still kind of par for the course?
I think it's pretty par for the course. We saw a flurry of polls this week come out in advance of the impeachment vote, and some of them showed voters supporting impeachment by as much as 10 points. A few of them showed voters narrowly opposing impeachment. But when you sort of look at them holistically, they showed about a 5-point margin in support of impeachment. And that's basically where the polls have been ever since these revelations about the Ukraine came out in September, and ever since Nancy Pelosi came out in support of impeachment. Those numbers have been pretty steady. I think one thing that was really interesting about the vote last night was the extent to which Nancy Pelosi was able to hold together her caucus with only two Democrats, and now one of them's a Republican, so really only one Democrat voting against impeachment. And there are a bunch of House Democrats, newly elected ones last year, who are in districts that voted for Donald Trump, but they held the course. And I'll tell you, last week we got hired to do a couple polls for freshman Democratic members of Congress in districts that not just voted for Donald Trump, but voted for Donald Trump by a pretty substantial margin. And we found that voting for impeachment wouldn't really hurt them. So I think that it's probably a wash politically, but if anything, I think it probably helps Democrats a little bit more than it hurts them.
Any difference from state to state? There's been some chatter of, oh, there might be a slight support for impeachment nationwide, but in those kind of swing states that we'll really be focusing on next year, that's a little bit of a different story. Is that what you're seeing or not?
No, I mean, I think that, you know, in the most important states, maybe it runs 2 or 3 points to the right of the overall numbers, just because the most important states run 2 to 3 points to the right of the country because of the sort of inherent advantage that Republicans have right now in the Electoral College. But certainly no evidence that in places like Wisconsin or Michigan or Pennsylvania that it's going to kill Democrats. The numbers might not be quite as strong as the national numbers, but even if voters just support it by a point or two as opposed to supporting it by 5 or 6 nationally, that's still, worst case scenario, wash for Democrats, not something that's likely to hurt them.
Speaking with Tom Jensen again, publicpolicypolling.com is the website for more numbers nationally and on state by state levels as well. So you mentioned different polls coming out this week showing some different numbers one way or the other, and we've talked about it before. You have to look at many polls altogether just to make sure that the one you're looking at isn't an outlier, and you get enough, eventually you'll see one or the other. But that brings up the good topic, and we were talking about this earlier today, on just not just the science of public opinion polling, but also the art of it and the ways in which you have to take a number of steps to make sure that when you're calling 300 people or 500 people or 1,000 people, you're getting a sample that's really going to be representative of 10 million or 300 million people. What are some of the kind of the scientific or artistic things behind that? What goes into doing a public opinion survey?
Well, one thing that I think is really important to note is that we're really in a period of rapid change for the polling industry. Even up until maybe 5 or 6 years ago, the only way of doing a poll that sort of was generally accepted was to do them by telephone. But what we've seen happen over the last 2 years is that people are just less and less and less willing to answer a poll by the phone. A generation ago, maybe 40% of the people who you called for a poll would answer it. Now that's below 5%. You have to call at least 25 people to get just one to answer a poll. So there's a lot of experimentation going on in the polling industry. A lot of polling is being conducted online now. And a big change that we've made in our polling at Public Policy Polling in 2019 is we're starting to do a lot of polling by text. We find that there are a lot of people who would much rather answer a poll by text than actually getting called on their phone with a poll. And it's helped us get more representative samples, too, some ways that we expected and some ways that we didn't expect. Something that I think is kind of a given is that younger people are much happier to answer a poll by text than they are over the phone. But we also have found that men are much more willing to answer a poll by text than over the telephone. And we found that voters in urban and suburban areas are more willing to answer a poll by text than over the telephone. So increasingly, when you see a poll these days, the people who responded to the poll weren't just contacted in one way. Most polls now are sort of a combination of people who are reached in several different ways.
Do you see any difference in terms of the outcome of surveys based on text versus calling? I know online polling is becoming more of a thing now as well.
Yeah, it definitely makes a big difference in terms of something like the Democratic primary for president. Voters who are reachable by telephone for the Democratic primary are overwhelmingly pro-Biden, even more so than just sort of normal polls of the population, whereas people who you contact on the internet or people who you contact by text are much more likely to be for Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders and much less likely to be for Biden. So basically, among people who will answer a poll by phone, Biden's at like 40% in the Democratic primary. Among people who would rather be reached by ways other than the phone, Biden's at only like 10% in the Democratic primary. He's in third place. So I think that Democratic primary polls in particular are important to have respondents being reached in a variety of ways, because those definitely do have very different outcomes depending on the way in which you're contacting people.
Is that just an age thing, or is it more of a worldview thing? Like, do younger people who answer the phone, are they more likely to vote for Biden, and older people who respond only by text, are they more likely to vote for Warren, or is that just a generational thing?
It is an age thing more than anything else, but definitely we do find that, for instance, among the few young Democratic primary voters that we can reach on a landline, they are more pro-Biden than ones who you would reach on a text. I don't know if the kind of young Democrats who still have landlines are like inherently more favorable towards older candidates if they have older ways of being reached on the phone, too. But I do think that it's probably more generational than anything else.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, publicpolicypolling.com. So you never really know, especially if you're doing a survey of an upcoming election, you don't really know until the day how accurate the survey is. And I know we've talked about this before, but it bears mentioning and reiterating the importance of this, not just getting an accurate sample of the population as a whole, making sure that, you know, if your population is 70% white, 20% black, 10% Latino or Asian or another minority, that you get that representative sample, but also that you get a representative sample of who's actually going to turn out on election day to actually cast ballots, because that's the representation in an election survey that really matters. So how do you do that in advance? How do you predict accurately or with some accuracy who's going to be showing up on election day?
Well, a lot of it is looking at sort of past trends in terms of what groups have voted and what numbers in the past. A lot of it sort of looking at how the enthusiasm numbers are shaking up for a particular election, which groups are more or less excited to vote. And then something that's very helpful, especially in a state like North Carolina that has a lot of early voting, is you can sort of get a good profile of who's going to vote from who's already turned out in that early 2 to 3 week voting period. But I will say the last time we had a Democratic primary that was sort of this robust in 2008, most of the turnout models, especially in the early contest, ended up totally underestimating Barack Obama because he was able to create an electorate that had never been what a Democratic electorate in the primary looked like ever before. So it's going to be interesting to see if any of these candidates can sort of change the nature of the electorate in such a way that they totally end up overperforming what their polls are going to look like. And as you say, that's something particularly with primaries that there's no way to really know until we actually start voting whether the polls are systemically helping or hurting somebody. My feeling is that in general, the kind of people willing to answer polls by any way are probably more pro-Biden than the population as a whole. So I wouldn't be surprised if we end up seeing Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren maybe do a little bit better when we start seeing actual election outcomes than they're doing in the polls right now. But a lot of that is stuff that we're just going to have to wait to find out.
Speaking again, Tom Jensen, and again, publicpolicypolling.com is the website for more information. As we wrap up with all of that in mind, when people look at public opinion polls, when they look at survey results, what should they be looking for to really gauge how representative or how accurate a survey it is? What are the numbers behind the numbers that people ought to be paying attention to?
Well, I really think more than anything else, people just should not latch on to individual surveys and should always look at things sort of as an overall body of work. For instance, one thing that happened this week was there was a Fox News poll that showed support for impeachment stronger than just about any other poll out there, 51 to 40 support for impeachment. And everybody's out there saying, well, you know, impeachment's overwhelmingly popular because it's even popular in a Fox News poll. And that means it must be even more popular than Fox News says. It's not really how it works. You know, that poll might have made Democrats happy, but I think it's better to look at all the other polls, most of which showed a sort of more measured view of things. So that's my biggest piece of advice is don't just latch on to the shiny poll that makes you happy. Look at all of them together, whether you like the results or not. And I think when you do that in this current political climate, you see that the country is relatively closely divided on impeachment, but a little more in support of it than not.
PublicPolicyPolling.com, the website for more information. Find them on social media, on Twitter at PPP Polls as well. Tom Jensen, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.